Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. On his journey, Abraham meets someone named Melchizedek near what is now Jerusalem. He recognizes his spiritual authority and gives him a tenth of all that he had. Just who is Melchizedek? Today, the mystery is unraveled. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. In a series on strength for the journey, Pastor Lutzer is in Genesis chapter 14, telling the story of Abraham. In this fourth message, A Generous Faith, we're about to learn who Melchizedek really was.
Here's the entire argument of Hebrews chapter 7, and I'm summarizing it for you. The author says that Jesus is a priest after the order of Melchizedek, who is superior to Aaron for this reason. Here's Abraham paying tithes to Melchizedek, admitting that he is priest of the Most High God. And where was Aaron and Levi when this was happening? Well, of course, they weren't even born. So the author's argument is this. When you have the father of Levi and Aaron, when you have the father bowing down and, in effect, if not bowing down, at least giving allegiance to Melchizedek, clearly Melchizedek has a superior priesthood. In fact, because he does not have any genealogy, it says in the book of Hebrews, we don't know where in the world he came from, he really is a better picture of Jesus than even Aaron and Levi, because that priesthood has been passed away. It no longer applies now that Jesus has come. And so we know now that Melchizedek is a king, he is a priest, and he blesses Abraham. And this is what he says. Blessed be Abraham by God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. Possessor. Some translations say creator. It can be translated that way. Probably better to translate it possessor of heaven and earth. And he blesses Abraham. Why this here? Why does Melchizedek come out of nowhere and bestow this blessing upon Abraham? Because Abraham is about to face a great test. And the test is going to come from another king whose name is Bera, who is king of Sodom, where Lot lived. And so what God wants to do here in this situation is to prepare Abraham, to remind him that God is the possessor of heaven and earth. God is not a poor God. He is not a confused deity. He is not a weak deity. He's not a deity whose hands are tied in terms of blessing, because he is possessor, he is creator of heaven and earth. Remember that, Abraham, when your test comes, as it's coming right now. And before we get to the second king, notice that Abraham paid him a tenth of all. He paid tithes. Some people think that tithing came about as the result of the Mosaic law. But here, hundreds of years before Moses, you have Abraham paying tithes, Jacob tithed. It was a principle that God obviously revealed very early. Now, here at the Moody Church, we do not require tithing because the New Testament does not require it. We encourage it. We think it's a good benchmark for people. It's a good way to begin the giving process. Our missionaries would never lack for money if only we gave a tenth of all. So here you have this story of Abraham's generosity in the presence of this mysterious man, Melchizedek, king and priest, prefiguring Jesus. Now we have a second king that enters into the picture. You'll notice it says in verse 21, "And the king of Sodom said to Abraham, 'Give me the persons, but take the goods for yourself.'" In other words, you've recovered the spoil. You can keep the spoil that you recovered, but of course, you know, return the persons. And Lot, of course, would be among that group that had been taken captive and that Abraham was able to return. Now, think about that for a moment. That was a reasonable deal. Abraham could say that the spoils that I received from this incursion into the territory of these four kings is legitimate payment for my risk. I took a risk, and the spoils, therefore, should be mine. Obviously, the king of Sodom would not get anything if I hadn't gone, so yeah, I'll keep it. Notice, though, what Abraham says. Verse 22, "But Abraham said to the king of Sodom, 'I have lifted up my hand to the Lord God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth,'" using the same language of the blessing given to him by Melchizedek, "'that I would not take a thread or a sandal strap or anything that is yours, lest you should say, I have made Abraham rich.'" Some of the young men who are here, what they ate and what they want to take, that's their business. "But as for me," we would translate it, "I will not take one red cent, lest the king of Sodom say, 'Well, yes, Abraham is rich, but I just want you to know I contributed to that riches. He has some of our goods. He had it coming to him, but we decided to be generous and to give him whatever it is that he captured.'" Abraham says, "I don't want to hear one word along that line. Because if the king of Sodom were to speak that way, I'd be robbing God of his glory. Is not the God that I serve the possessor of heaven and earth? Didn't he bring everything into existence? Does it not say in the Old Testament, and Abraham wouldn't have known this, but we do, that all the gold is mine, the silver is mine, the cattle on 1,000 hills is mine, says the Lord. Even that which people grab for themselves belongs to God, the possessor of heaven and earth." And Abraham says, "I want to make a clear distinction here. I will receive God's blessing, but I am refusing the manipulation and the deals of the world so that God gets all the glory." I woke up this morning quite early, 4:45 actually. And before I got out of bed, I was praying and saying, "Lord, you know, I'd really like to find an illustration to illustrate this." And none came to mind. I searched around, couldn't find it. And then God did something very special. This morning, as I was getting ready for the baptism, I have a friend of mine who's a prayer partner who prays for me all the time, who will receive in heaven the reward of any good thing that I've ever done. And he was helping me get into my garb that I need for baptism. And he told me he was just on a weekend journey that was very, very profitable from the standpoint of his business. And he wanted to do something, he told me. Now, he's volunteering all this. He doesn't have a clue what this sermon is about. He wanted to do something that would violate a principle he had always held to in terms of relationship with unbelievers. Now, of course, we have to do business with all kinds of people in the world, most assuredly. But it had to do with a partnership. And he decided to go along this way at first, thinking that, you know, it'll work and the potential here is awesome. Until he was rebuked in his spirit and last night took a walk and decided that the answer was no. And God confirmed it by having this man back out of the deal by leaving a voicemail message on his phone. You see the temptation that we get to when we want to have opportunity and when we want to make a deal? Nothing wrong with deals, but when you're in partnerships with those who do not know the Savior, they might say, "It is because of me that you today have been blessed." I know that that's complicated and there may be some exceptions and some unanswered questions, but the main thing I want to leave with you today is this. Don't ever make a decision that will rob God of His glory. It's better to be blessed by God, Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, than to manipulate a deal with the kings of Sodom. Three very important lessons grow out of this. First of all, the lesson is we always face a choice between two kings. We always face a choice between two kings. It's either King Jesus or it's ourselves and the world. But all of our choices boil down to that. One more time, I'm going to look at this man, Melchizedek. Who was he anyway? Comes out of nowhere, no genealogy, superior to Abraham, king, priest of the Most High God. Who was he anyway? Many Bible scholars feel, and I've come to this conclusion, though I cannot prove it absolutely, that Melchizedek was Jesus. Melchizedek was Jesus. In the Old Testament, what you find is from time to time, God revealed himself. Jesus became flesh, and sometimes he became an angel for a very specific reason. And then after his work was done, he would disappear. And then later on, of course, he came in Bethlehem to permanently accept humanity so that he could be our brother and our Savior. This is called by theologians pre-incarnate manifestation. That is, prior to Bethlehem, when God became flesh, manifestations of God. And here, Abraham doesn't know it. He doesn't understand the Trinity like we do. But I believe that he's in the presence of deity. And isn't it interesting that Melchizedek gave him bread and wine, which later, of course, would be symbolic of the blood and body of Jesus. And that's why it is so important for us to understand the Old Testament, because it sheds so much light on the New. I've written a book entitled The Cross in the Shadow of the Crescent. Let me ask you this question. Islam has been able to triumph in Christian lands all throughout the Middle East. Does this mean that Islam is superior to Christianity? Well, these are the kinds of questions I answer in this book. Also, are we ready for the kind of persecution that might come to us? Ask for The Cross in the Shadow of the Crescent.
Pastor Erwin Lutzer with part two of A Generous Faith, the fourth of 10 messages on the life of Abraham in a series called Strength for the Journey. Next time, a challenge to all of us regarding the choices we make. The Cross in the Shadow of the Crescent is a book by Pastor Lutzer analyzing the rise of Islam. This book will be sent with our thanks when you send a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. For full information, call us toll-free at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Join us for our next Running to Win.